With battles flaring this week from the Shiite south to the mostly Sunni central part of Iraq and on up north of Baghdad, we've called on two retired army generals to help assess the military situation. Robert Scales is former commandant of the Army War College. He's also author of the book The Iraq War, A Military History. Welcome back.
Hi, good to be back.
And William Nash, who's now a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
It's the one-year anniversary of the fall of the Saddam Hussein statue in Baghdad. Are you surprised, General Scales, by the extent of the fighting around the country now?
I am surprised. This whole war so far has morphed and changed in its character, and I think what we've seen in the last week or so is a very bloody and unfortunate manifestation of that.
General Mark Kimmett in Baghdad today was asked whether this was a war and not an offensive. Let's listen to how he described what's going on.
I would say it's a gross mischaracterization to suggest that the entire country is at war, that the entire country is now under the grips of combat. Currently, there are some small localized contact, but to suggest that somehow that the 27 million people of the country of Iraq are currently in the midst of a war, that just isn't the case.
William Nash, any response to that?
Well, I don't think it's a full-scale countrywide war, though I think the characterization of small localized actions is also somewhat of a mischaracterization of what's going on. In fact, there are very serious situations that have political impact, both in the Fallujah-Ramadi area, but also in Baghdad into the south, involving the Sadr group, if you will.
The Shiite militias. We're now also seeing U.S. forces going in to either back up or replace forces from the so-called Coalition of the Willing. What's happened to that coalition, General Scales?
Well, I think the coalition is still there. The reason the forces are being kept behind is to meet this spike in violence. And remember now, insurgencies of this sort follow a sort of sine curve pattern. And at times, conflict can be reasonably intense, and other times it can be fairly quiet.
Is it your sense that we need more troops, that the United States should send more troops to Iraq?
I think for the next few days, until this insurrection is quelled and the violence has been reduced, you'll need this extra spike of American forces. I'm not convinced, however, that over the long term, an additional division or two divisions or whatever will do that much good to change the security situation of the country. The secret is to Iraqify, if you will, this conflict and make sure that the Iraqis eventually will take over the principal responsibility for defending their own country.
How do you get to that point? I mean, do you have any confidence that the Iraqi security forces are in any position to take on this responsibility for themselves?
For now, the responsibilities that they're taking on are not all that great. But remember, this takes time. You don't build a nation overnight, and you sure as heck don't build an army overnight. The key ingredient here, twofold. Number one is don't be intimidated by what you see in the newsreels in the short term. And number two, give the forces in Iraq time so that they can rebuild that country financially, politically, and militarily.
William Nash?
Well, I would say that I think, first of all, that the need for extra forces, as some have defined it, will in fact be fairly temporary, but it could well extend through the 30 June transition time. And I think that's why we've heard that General Abizaid is looking at options of delaying the departure of the 1st Armored Division and looking for options for earlier deployment of some follow-on forces to deal with this period relatively short in nature, between 2 and 4 months, I would say, at the most. The second point is the Iraqi forces that have been used in conjunction with American forces have done reasonably well, but they have not demonstrated their ability to conduct independent operations. As Bob rightfully notes, it takes a long time to build an army or to build a police force, and that is in fact a long-term process that is in fact a year's worth of endeavor.
William Nash, you're a veteran of the Vietnam War. Do you see any analogies here, any signs of a quagmire that's building up?
Oh, I see similarities, but I don't think the word quagmire is quite the appropriate one. It might not have been the right one for Vietnam, and it's certainly not characterized the situation in Iraq today.
What are those similarities?
Well, you know, you can look at it, the fact that this is a guerrilla war in difficult terrain, in an environment where American forces are fighting a determined enemy that's using the tactic of the guerrilla. Strike where they want to strike and withdraw and try to avoid pitched battles where we can bring our full power to bear. And in the urban environment, that also means that they also hide behind the civilian populace or use the civilian populace to shield their positions and their operations.
Are there lessons from Vietnam then that apply to that situation?
Well, I think one of the lessons we should remember is the story about the American colonel that went to North Vietnam after the war. And the colonel related to the North Vietnamese colonel that America had won every battle. And the North Vietnamese colonel replied, "That may be true, but it's also irrelevant, because it is, in fact, the political purpose and the political objective that all military campaigns have to be directed towards."
General Scales?
I absolutely agree. And remember, what do the insurgents seek to do here? Their object is not to win. Their object is to avoid losing. The object is to maintain an insurgent presence inside the country. And they achieve that by simply killing Americans and trying to do it in as graphical and as public a manner as they can. Again, to back to the Vietnam analogy, a French journalist in 1964 once asked Ho Chi Minh, "How does your little country ever expect to defeat the world's greatest superpower?" And he replied prophetically, "They will kill many of us, we will kill a few of them, and they will tire of it first." And so the pattern repeats, but there's such a huge difference in scale and purpose between Vietnam and Iraq that it's a very, very tenuous comparison indeed.
Gentlemen, thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Retired Major General Robert Scales, author of The Iraq War, A Military History, and retired Major General William Nash, who's now Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.